The year is 1986. I'm 10 years old and running the mean streets of Madeira. Where across the street from my house, there's a field that during the daytime hours would become a stadium for neighborhood wiffle ball games, soccer matches, and cutthroat games of kick the can. But at night in the summer, when the sun would go down and the stars would come out, we'd head back over to that field across the street from my house, and it would become an observatory where we'd lay on our backs and we'd stare up at the stars and the fireflies dancing overhead. But because we were kids and we got bored easily, that would last for about 30 seconds. And then we would jump up and we'd start chasing the fireflies in the field across the street from my house. And because we were kids and got bored easily, we'd start capturing the fireflies in the field across the street from my house and putting them into a jar and poking holes in it, peanut butter jars, mayonnaise jars, it didn't matter. They would all die later in our room. And then because we were kids and got bored easily, we'd go and get those very same wiffle ball bats from earlier that morning. And we would head back to that field across the street from our house. And with visions of Pete Rose dancing in our head, we would swing for the fences. And those fireflies would go flying like shooting stars through the air, only to come back down to earth one final time. I blame the bohemian parenting of the 80s for that one. Those firefly massacres as our parents watched on. Maybe you remember a similar evening in your youth, looking at the fireflies. I want to thank you for being here today at Horizon. We just want to welcome you. And together we're going to explore the question today, what might God have to teach us through the fireflies? Crazy. 2,000 different fireflies. Who would have known? It's crazy to think that 2,000 of them, and they're all communicating in their own way, right? The way they blink, the way they fly, the way they dance. I wonder what God might be communicating to us through the firefly. Well, today we're going to look at one starting thought to just kind of set the table, prime the pump, okay? And it's this. It's that God is speaking through everything he made. And he says it this way. It says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by all the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. That God's saying, hey, if you want to see me, just like go outside and take a look around. You want to know what I'm like? Look at the things that I've created. And man, I don't know if you know this, but one of our mottos here at Horizon is we are yours to explore, which certainly is true here in the chapel. We want to help you and help ourselves explore faith and the journey, but also outside. I don't know if you've been outside lately, but there is so much beauty in bloom right now on our property that I invite you to check out. So a couple years ago, a group of friends here at Horizon came together and they said, hey, we want to return the native species to our property. Like, what would this have looked like before it was bulldozed to make a golf course decades ago that became a church? So they've been working hard to bring back all of the trees, plants, flowers, that bring back all of the pollinators and animals and insects that were meant to be on our property. And it's beautiful, right? Like, you just walk around, it's amazing. Would invite you to do that. Across the lake from us here, you'll see there's a fenced-in area that's coming into existence, and that is our playscape. So imagine, like, if you have kids or grandkids going to a playground where they're not on concrete, hot metal, and plastic. Instead, they're playing on grass and trees and rocks and getting a little bit of dirt under their fingernails, right? Like, that's not gonna hurt them. That's gonna come into existence this fall with all of our help. And if you're ever interested in getting to be a part of it, there are some upcoming ways to connect with the eco team, and they're always open to new friends. I think almost 250 of us have helped out in some way in one of these serving events. So this is kind of a church-wide thing. And God is telling us, he's saying, hey, I am speaking through everything, including the firefly. Okay, and I wonder, well, what's he trying to say through the firefly? Well, how amazing, bioluminescence. I mean, it boggles my mind. And friends, if there is really a divine storyteller who's writing this story unfolding all around us, and he created a firefly, what might we learn about him through the firefly? Well, the first thing we learn is that he's a scientist, right? He had out the beakers and the test tubes, and he's got the luciferin and luciferase and puts it together with oxygen, and then bam, we got mini glow sticks flying around here. I mean, that's pretty cool. I don't know if you know this, but the lightning bug is the most efficient light on Earth. It's like 99.9999% efficient. It's called cold light. Pretty crazy. God's an amazing scientist. The next thing we learn is that he's an amazing engineer. That is, you study that lantern that glows on the firefly. At Penn State, they've done a study where they looked at it, and the exoskeleton are these like triangular asymmetrical shapes that overlay. And as they duplicate that on an LED light, what they found is that the glow increases by 40%. Show the next slide there, Mark. I mean, look at that. That's from the lantern of the firefly when we duplicate it. Crazy. God's an engineer. But I think mostly what I learn about God from the firefly is that he is just amazingly creative. I mean, think of all of the animals that exist in the world, and then we're just going to look at one little sliver, okay, called bugs and insects. And I know they're technically different, but I'll use them interchangeably. Okay, there's a million different named bugs or insects out there. Okay, and it's almost like God was thinking like, okay, I've made some bugs that fly and some bugs that crawl and some that squirm around. I've made some pretty bugs, really colorful, and some ugly bugs, right? There's some ugly bugs. Made some that bite, some that sting. What if I made a bug that glowed, right? Like, why not? That'd be so much fun. It'd bring a smile to people's faces, and it would remind them that like light shines in the darkness. It would remind them that I shine in the darkness. Here's how the Bible puts it. It says, in him, who's him? Jesus, was life. And that life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. And that word comprehend gets translated one of two ways, depending on your Bible version. It's a word called catalambano, which sounds very like Spanish or Italian. Catalambano also gets translated as overcome about half the time. That God's telling us that Jesus is the light that shines into the darkness, and the darkness, it can't overcome it. And friends, this analogy of light and darkness, God will use in the Bible over 200 times to explain his relationship to us. And I think that makes sense because he's writing to people that existed before electricity, right? So he's trying to use language they understand. When's the last time you were in complete and utter darkness? Can you remember? Think about it. For me, it was about 8 years ago, okay? I was with a group here from Horizon, high school students. We went down to the Happy Church. On one of the days during our free time, we go to this old abandoned mine, okay? And we do this thing called underground kayaking, all right? There's about a dozen of us, okay? We get there and put on life jackets, put on our little helmets with the little glow stick thingies on, the lanterns, and we just start kayaking our way through the mine, all right? And it is expansive, okay? We are going and going and going, cavern after cavern. And we get to a point about 30 minutes in where if you have been on one of these cave tours, you know what's about to happen, right? Like, you've been there. Like, the guide, who I think's pretty jacked up on Skittles and Mountain Dew, okay? He's like, all right, dudes, here's what we're doing, okay? We're gonna turn off all of the lights because we're 200 feet underneath granite, and I want you to see what a total darkness feels like, right? And all of the teenagers with me are like, yeah, sounds awesome. You know, and internally I'm going, no, that sounds terrible. please no. Because I'm thinking, what if all of our headlamps don't turn back on? Like, we don't have a chance. What if I like get discombobulated, fall out of my kayak, can't find my way to the top because it's dark? Or what if, and your brain plays crazy tricks with you in fear, what if there's like this prehistoric fish that has been following us the entire journey, and it's like, I'm just waiting for them to turn out their lights and I'm gonna attack. You know, like those are all of the things going through my head, but I'm leading teenagers, so I'm like, yeah, guys, let's do this. This is gonna be fun. And we all start like turning off our lamps. It's like click, click, clickety click, click, click. You know, and I am telling you, like, this is dark like I had never seen before in my life and have never seen since. I mean, I couldn't see my hand in front of my face. I could have smacked myself in the face and not seen anything. Would love to know, so put yourself in my shoes there. Like, what would you be feeling? And I'd love for a couple people to yell it out. What would you be feeling if you're sitting in that kayak 8 years ago, 200 feet under granite? Give me some words. Fear, terror. Am I really paying money to do this, right? Like, those are the things going through my head. Well, this is the kind of darkness we're going to explore today. And we're going to see that God wants to shine in to the dark places in our world and our lives and help us to overcome in three ways. And the first one is this, that God's light overcomes the darkness of our fears. Now, let's be honest, like, darkness is a little scary, right? I mean, no matter your age, I'm 49, okay, and I'll be here on Sunday nights pretty often. I've got a men's group. I've got Authentic Manhood, okay, which, sidebar, real quick, fellas, talking to you. If you haven't come to Authentic Manhood yet, it's awesome. Would invite you. Start September 7th. There's five of them. Think like 70 or 80 guys eating chicken wings, talking about life and what God might have to say about it, okay? And this season coming up, we're just talking about marriage. I mean, who doesn't want a better marriage, right? Don't raise your hands. That will get you in trouble. Invites you to sign up. It's going to be awesome. You can do it on our website. All right, back to my story. All right, I'm here on a Sunday night. It's late. Authentic Manhood's over. I got a team that helps clean up, thankfully. But eventually, I'm the last guy in the building, okay? And I go to the door, and I'm locking it. I go to set the alarm. And sometimes, there's a door code where, like, someone hasn't pulled a door shut in the building. I mean, look around. There's like a bazillion doors on this building, right? It's like, dang it. And the worst one is this green room door, okay, way behind me, because it's so far away from the front door, and it's so dark. And I know I could turn on the lights as I walk, okay? I get that, but there's cameras everywhere here, so I know, like, Ron is going to see me, and he's gonna be like, he's such a wimp. He's turning on every light. You know, so I just, like, I speed walk, pull the door shut, speed walk back, whew, and I head out, you know, because it's, darkness is a little bit scary, even at 49. But it doesn't compare at all to an article I was reading about darkness and fear. So during World War I, okay, 110 years ago, imagine this. You're a young man, 18 to 22, across the world. Darkness is raining every night, right? And fear, can't even imagine. Those of you who have served, thank you. Can't imagine, and they're in this trench, and it's dark often if it's cloudy, and all they want is a little bit of comfort from home, to read that letter from mom or dad, look at that picture of their sweetheart, a little bit of comfort. But they found out if they turned on their flashlight, people started shooting at them, right? It's like, hey, shoot me, over here, right? So they discovered, and it was ingenious, that if they dug into the ground, okay, and they pulled out glowworms, and they put them into jars that they could see. And glowworms in Europe are juvenile or female fireflies. And they could see just enough to read that letter one more time from mom. I love you. I'm so proud of you. Look at that picture of their sweetheart one more time. Friends, there's something about having a little bit of light with us that helps us overcome our fear. And over 300 times in the Bible, God is going to tell us, don't be afraid. It's like, don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. And I'm always like, that's easy for you to say because you're God. You know what's coming tomorrow. I don't. But every single time, the antidote he gives to don't be afraid is like, because I'm with you. The antidote is always himself. And let me read you an example of that. It says, when I sit in darkness, The Lord will be a light to me. And I don't know what kind of darkness maybe you're sitting in right now, fear-wise. Sometimes we sit in heavy darkness like we're under a cavern 200 feet below the granite. And it's the heavy things we don't even like talking about or thinking about. The fears of losing it all, right? Like a terminal diagnosis, a bankruptcy pending, a rift in your marriage that you just don't know how to fix. And you're terrified. It's dark. Well, God's saying, hey, I'm going to sit with you in that. You're not alone. I will bring a light into that darkness. You know, yesterday we celebrated the life of a friend here at Horizon, Carol Dunham. She's a longtime attender. She worked here. We got to be friends. And a couple years ago, Carol got diagnosed with terminal brain cancer. And she put up this amazing, valiant fight for a couple of years. And recently, it took her life. And I believe she's with Jesus right now. But as Chad was sharing about this yesterday, he mentioned that they had made a video and recorded and interviewed her and stuff. And I checked it out last night. And it was so amazing. There's this point where they're asking her about the diagnosis. And she's saying, it stinks. I wouldn't wish this on anyone. It's horrible. And then there's like this turn happens in her. And she goes, but at the same time, I'm kind of sad that people don't get to experience the way that God is uplifting me right now in the middle of this. I mean, think about that for a second. Like, she's in a situation that we feel great pity for, and we wouldn't want that in a million years. And she's feeling pity for us, saying, hey, you don't understand how much God meets you in the middle of your pain, your sorrow, your fear, until you're living it and you know you have years or months instead of decades. And that's where the rubber meets the road. But a lot of times our fears aren't the deep, dark, heavy fears of life. That would be a hard way to live. They're the little fears, right? They're not like being 200 feet under granite. They're like walking through a church at 9 o'clock on a Sunday night, right? They're just a little bit scary. Well, God cares about those too. And I call those little fears anxiety, right? And anxiety right now is running rampant, like in our country and in me, like I feel it. The APA, American Psychiatric Association, put out a poll for 2025. Okay, 67% of us have a lot of anxiety about world events. And to that I say, yeah, right? Like, it's chaos. 62% of us have high anxiety about keeping ourselves or our family safe in public. Like, to me, that one stopped me in my tracks. I'm like, that's scary that the majority of us have anxiety about, will we come back from church safe today? 61% of us have anxiety about our financial situations, either not enough, or I think the flip side of the coin, all pun intended, is true too, where it's like, I have enough, but I want to make sure I'm doing what I'm supposed to with it, investing it right and passing it on right. I don't want to make a misstep in my legacy, and that's scary as well. And 59% of us say that we have anxiety about our health, which as I'm approaching 50, as I shared earlier, it's like every doctor's appointment, every test is starting to feel a little more anxiety-inducing in me. Well, God's saying, hey, in your big, deep, dark fears, you don't sit alone. And in your little fears running through the church like a child when you're 49, you don't sit alone either. Like, I'm with you. Okay, but what does that look like? Because sometimes I think us pastors, we get up here and we use what I call pretty pastor talk, right? Where we're like, hey, God sits with you in your fears. And you're like, hey, thanks, that sounds good. I don't know. What does that mean? Like, when I'm scared, I'm like, hey, God, I got a seat for you right here. Come on down. Am I sending God like an Outlook calendar request? Like, come, want to discuss some stuff going on. Well, in a layman's terms, okay, the easiest I can think to explain what I do is it just means talking to God about what I'm scared about, the big things and the little things. And that's a big fancy word, religious word we call prayer, but it's just talking to God. And it's crazy that prayer has been studied over the last several decades, and it has amazing effects on our mental health and our physical health. And I just pulled a couple of quotes from recent recent work. One is the act of prayer has been found to lead directly to a lower heart rate, reduced muscle tension, and slower breathing rate. Right, my blood pressure's coming down. Maybe if I pray more, I can get off of that amlodipine, you know what I'm saying? It's got physical results. But prayer may also, a different study, contribute to the feelings of tranquility by altering brain chemistry and structure. That studies show that consistent and regular prayer through our brain's plasticity can actually change and begin to rewire our brains in the way that we think. I mean, that just blows my mind away. Okay, but wait, okay, it gets better, all right? And I know I sound like an infomercial guy when I say that, but I'm like, but wait, it only gets better, okay? Because God doesn't want to just sit with us in our darkness and be a light, because God is not helpless. He's not impotent, okay? He doesn't want to leave us there. That God tells us that he wants to be a light to lead us out of the darkness, all right? And Jesus says it this way, in his own words, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And I love that he says, I am the light, not I have a light. I got a flashlight in my pocket, not I am a light, which wouldn't be bad. The last verse said God is a light. Jesus is saying, no, I am the light. Like it's me. Like I'm the Son of God, S-O-N, and I'm the Son, S-U-N. And I shine bright. And if you think of that analogy, he's saying, hey, I shine bright, I'm the sun. If you follow me, you won't walk in darkness. And just think proximity. If you've ever followed someone at night with a lantern or a light, like when you're close to the light, you don't walk in darkness. And friends, I think we're all following something, trying to find what it says there. It says the light of life. Like, aren't we all hoping to find out what this is all about? Why am I here? Why was I created? What am I meant to do, you know? I think we're following something, if we're being honest. And for some of us, it's probably a person, you know, or an ideology. Like, right now, podcasts are huge. Okay, how many of you guys listen to a podcast like me on, like, a weekly level? Like, show of hands. All right, good amount of us are podcast nerds, okay? Anyone know who the most popular podcaster in the world is? Joe Rogan, right? The guy from Fear Factor. So he goes from dumping tarantulas on people's faces to now he's making three-hour podcasts that each get 14.5 million listens. That's crazy. It's been fun to see Joe is on his own spiritual journey. He's had some Christians on his podcast that he's bumped into, and he's gotten curious, and he's, the last couple months, been going to a church, exploring, just like many of us. Doesn't know what he believes, but he's just checking it out. Or maybe you're not following a someone or an ideology. You're like, you know what, Ryan? I'm a blue-blooded American, and I got an internal compass, okay? I'm following myself, baby. That's all I need. I got my internal voice. It's never led me astray. Right, and I would say, no way, your internal voice lies sometimes, right? You need proof of that? Look back at pictures from 15 years ago and be like, I was wearing what? Holy cow, that hairstyle, yikes. True story, wish I was exaggerating. When I was 17 years old, my internal voice convinced me that it would be cool to wear a toe ring all summer long, okay? And ask my wife, I've got hideous toes, all right? I got two hammer toes, one on each foot. They turn, they go under, gnarly, all right? And my internal voice was like, nah, dog, put the toe ring on the hammer toe. Yeah, and I'm like, I feel ya. And for 4 months, I wore a toe ring on my hammer toe. No idea why, my internal voice is a liar, okay? That's what's going on there. And I think if we're brave enough, we have to ask the question of, like, whatever it is that we're following, hoping that it will lead us to the light of life, whether it's a person, an ideology, a system, a plan, ourselves, whatever it is, like, how much light is it really bringing into the darkness of our fears, the darkness and unknown of our path? Because Jesus says, I am the light. Follow me, and you won't have to walk in darkness all the time. I don't know if you guys have ever looked at our logo. It's been redesigned here in the last couple years, and I really love it. It's green and blue. The green represents earth. The blue is the sky. The white arc is obviously the horizon that we're walking towards. And poetically, it's this idea that we're all on a spiritual journey, right? And we're heading towards the horizon, heading towards the heavens. And some of us maybe are further along than others. Some are walking faster than others. You know, you kind of get the metaphor. The star across the horizon symbolizes Jesus. That the Bible says he's the morning star, that he's sitting on a throne right now in heaven, shining, eternal. And that's this idea of following the light to walk out of the darkness. But wait, it gets better, okay? It gets better. It's not only God wants to sit with us in our darkness, not only God wants to lead us out of our darkness, light our paths, God also wants to overcome the darkness of our hearts. And I know that one sounds kind of, ugh, darkness of my heart, Ryan, thanks a lot. I know I had high cholesterol. I got dark-hearted disease too. Geez, so glad I came to church. Think of it this way. Think of it, the light maybe just hasn't turned on. Like, can you think of the last time the light turned on for you with something? Right, like I think of like math, okay? So I am far more like an English, history, literature guy. Math and science, not so much, okay? So in high school, I'd be in math classes, college math classes, and I'm plowing through practice problems, and I'm looking at the book, and I'm like, this is not making any sense. You know, and I'm looking at the examples and the little blurb that's supposed to explain it, and I'm like, is this in like Swahili? Because I don't understand anything that this is saying. And kids, if you're under 40, like, there was no YouTube, okay? So I couldn't go and watch, like, an 8-year-old explain to me this calculus problem, all right? I had to do it the old-fashioned way by exploring, talking to my teacher, talking to my friends. And eventually, as you just keep working on that thing, it's like the light bulb just goes, blink, and the light bulb came on. You guys have done it? And you're like, oh, I finally get that formula and that equation. It's so silly. And they're just racing through problem after problem after problem. Well, God's saying the same thing is true with our hearts. That there's a moment where the light just hasn't turned on. And it says this. It says, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. So there's a lot of words here, so I want to unpack. He's saying, hey, it's me, the guy who made the sun, the God who made the sun. I'm that God, and I'm the same God, and here's what I want to do. Who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. But he's saying, hey, I'm the big G God. I made the sun, and I want to shine in your heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. And what that sets up for me is a before, right? If he's going to shine, then it means there was a point where he didn't shine, and it sets up an after. And I remember before in my life. Like, I remember being a kid and a teenager and, like, I knew about God, Jesus, and the Bible because I grew up in America, got drugged to church reasonably often, you know, and it's like, I know some stuff, but I certainly didn't get the glory of God. Like, I wasn't quite sure he was, like, real, wasn't quite sure, like, if I really wanted to make any sacrifices, if it was worth it. It's kind of like, that's nice for you. I got better things to do. You know, it's kind of my approach. And then my senior year of high school, I get invited to a Young Life camp, okay, in Weaverville, North Carolina, just north of Asheville, and really went just because there were pretty girls in bathing suits, if I'm being totally honest, you know. I'm like, sounds good, I'll go, you know. So I'm there, and about day five, they'd been talking about Jesus, and I don't know if it was stuff I hadn't heard or stuff I hadn't listened to, but it was clicking, and I remember about day five, I'm laying on a hillside in Weaverville, North Carolina, and I'm looking up at the stars above and the beautiful fireflies twinkling in the trees around me. And it's like the light bulb just went, and it just turned on. And all of a sudden, I like made sense. I'm like, oh, you're real. This is real. This is worth living my life for. Holy cow. And it's not like anything changed with God, right? Like when I didn't have the light on and when I did. It's not like he wasn't there. You know, think of like fireflies during the daytime. Like, how much do you think about fireflies at noon, right? Like, can't wait to see the fireflies. It's going to be amazing. But they're there. Like, the fireflies in your yard are there right now. You just don't see them until you see them. Well, that's what God wants to do in our hearts, is to shine his light in so that we can have the light turn on. And I wonder if you're like me, though. You're probably, there's some realists in the room, and they're like, hey, Ryan, that sounds good. I would like that. I mean, wouldn't we all like to know what we think about God, heaven, hell, all of that before we die, like land the plane on where we're at? Like, I think we'd all like that. Well, how do I do that? Like, how do I help the light turn on, as you say? Is it like I come to church more, right? I'm like a once-a-month person. Do I make it like 2-3 times? Does that kind of seal the deal? Do I like sing songs to Jesus more? Do I write a bigger check? Like, help me understand how the light just turns on. Well, this is one of what I like to call a cliffhanger verse in the Bible, where you save the last couple of words for the very end to come around like a nice, sweet right hook to the heart, okay? Because God gives us the answer. It says, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And I want to invite the band to start coming out behind me. But God's telling us, he's saying, hey, if you want to have the light come on, it's going to come on through a face-to-face encounter with Jesus. Not through religious trappings, not through how much you give, not through some crazy book you read or some religious experience where you go and take peyote or, you know, like he's saying it's going to be through an encounter face to face with Jesus. And again, how does that happen, Ryan? Well, you can start just talking to him. He's there. But I encourage you even more is to just explore his life. That in the Bible, okay, there's 4 books that are biographies of Jesus, all right? And they're towards the back. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I would start in like Mark or Luke. Don't do that romantic thing where you're like, I want to hear from God, and I find a Bible, and I close my eyes, and I just flip through the pages and point, and you're like, speak to me, Jesus. And like, oh, that's a verse about a donkey. Don't know what to do with that. Don't do that, okay? Go to one of his biographies. Read about his life, and here's what I want to challenge you to do. Look at the way that he treated people. Look at the way that he listened to people, talked to people, the way he served, even though he's God, the way he sacrificed, even though he's God. Listen to the things he says in his biography. Man, do they ring true to life. I mean, you start reading it and you're like, holy cow, this is me. I know this. And then just look for the way that he shines in the darkness and see if that light bulb doesn't just start to flicker, right? Just see if it doesn't just start to flicker. Friends, I want to encourage you today to let the light of God overcome the darkness of your fears, the darkness of your path, and the darkness of our hearts.